organs are a huge part of who we are.
Tribal governments turn their attention to a mine near Southeast, and the ladies have their own division in this year's Big Air. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell with Misty Wiley in Skagway. That news and more up next. Alaska Native tradition is the main topic of discussion in a four-day conference in Sitka this week. This year's Clan Conference brings together tribal members from Canada to the lower 48, artists, researchers, and students to talk about Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian culture. The conference is titled Sharing Our Knowledge, and 4 days of presentations and discussions explore topics like art, language, education, and sustainability. More than 40 sessions and seminars led by Native and non-Native cultural experts and scholars cover Indigenous law, linguistics, fisheries, and traditional ecological knowledge. Other talks cover cultural anthropology, museum studies, art, and music. A talk on Saturday covers the Chilkoot and Dry Bay with presentations by Anastasia Wiley, Marsha Hotch, Dan Henry, and Bert Adams. A special presentation about the history of Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood recognizes the 100-year anniversary of the founding of the ANB. The first Clan Conference was held in Haines and Clukwan in 1993, then it traveled around Southeast for a few years before taking a 10-year hiatus. In 2007, the Clan Conference was revived in Sitka, bringing in over 400 participants and 90 presenters. This year's Clan Conference runs March 29th to April 1st at Harrigan Centennial Hall in Sitka. The entire conference will be recorded and available for viewing on the Clan Conference website. Add tribal governments to the list of those concerned about large-scale mining near the Canadian border. Representatives from the Tlingit Haida Central Council and the Ketchikan Indian community presented resolutions to the Federal Subsistence Board last week. They said an open-pit copper and gold mine planned for northeast of Ketchikan could threaten hooligan, also known as candlefish. Andre Licornu is a member of the Ketchikan Indian community's tribal council. He said few of the oil-rich fish return to the area now, and mining discharges could make it worse.
Hooligans are a huge part of who we are. As you know, hooligan grease and hooligans themselves are an integral part of our diet and our trade and commerce.
Toronto-based Seabridge Gold is developing what's called the KSM Mine. It's near the tributary of the Unik River, which flows into Beam Canal near Ketchikan. The mine was not before the Subsistence Board, but Licornu says the panel should be aware of an issue they could hear about later. Mine owners have said they'll build with care and follow water quality and other environmental regulations. Tlingit Haida Central Council Executive Council Member Rob Sanderson, Jr. told the Subsistence Board that's not enough.
British Columbia pretty much has been sold off to large mining companies. Central Council looks for balance in this area.
He said federal and state officials should pursue water quality protections through a transboundary waters treaty with Canada. Low returns caused the Forest Service to close the subsistence hooligan fishery in the Ketchikan area earlier this year to protect the population. A regional group advising the Federal Subsistence Board says it should wait before considering a petition to change management of some fisheries near Angoon. The Southeast Alaska Subsistence Regional Advisory Council made its recommendation during a meeting in Juneau Friday. Kutznuwu Incorporated petitioned the statewide subsistence board to push for a federal takeover of the purse seine fishery in northern Chatham Strait. The Village Native Corporation said that would increase subsistence sockeye salmon harvest. Kutznuwu General Manager Peter Nowrose said during the meeting, purse seiners are taking too many sockeye salmon that should go to the community. He said in some years, enough fish returned for both groups, but in others, the harvest is unbalanced.
The question is, who takes the risk of a bad year? Is it the fishermen who have these mighty boats that can move to other locations where the fish are? Or should it be the community of Angoon? It can't pick up and move. Those fish are coming home.
The Regional Advisory Council recommended trying out other methods of boosting the catch. Bertrand Adams, Sr. of Yakutat, chairs the council.
We found that it'd be very difficult to extend extraterritorial jurisdiction, in areas that Angoon is concerned about. because it was not only going to affect, you know, those areas, but other areas as well, such as Cake or Huna.
The council recommended waiting 3 years before deciding on Kutznuwu's petition. That would give state, federal, commercial fishing, and Angoon leaders time to find an alternative solution. Kutznuwu board chairman Floyd Kukesh, an advisory council member, said the recommendation is incomplete.
One of the things we really have been struggling with is having the state and the federal governments working together, and that's what we're looking forward to seeing happen. And we're doing this not just to create friction, but to work on making it better for the subsistence user and for Angoon.
The advisory council did recommend re-examining management plans for the area's seine fishery and the nearby Hidden Falls hatchery, and it called for studies and regulatory changes to increase Angoon's sockeye catch. The Federal Subsistence Board deliberated the issue Friday. Its recommendation will be sent to the Interior and Agriculture Departments, but it will not be made public.
Skagway was looking for a little respect on Thursday. Skagway joined more than 100 communities marching for the governor's Choose Respect initiative. 123 communities around the state marched in support of the initiative, which combats the epidemic of domestic violence and sexual assault. Students, business owners, National Park Service employees, and municipal representatives walked from the National Park Service building on 2nd Avenue to the Elks building on 6th Avenue, where the community was invited to listen to presentations supporting making respectful choices. For more information on the initiative and business resources, go to the website www.chooserespect.alaska.gov. Reporting in Skagway for KHNS, I'm Misty Wiley.
Southeast Alaska's newest ferry service just bought its first vessel. Officials with the Kaufman Cove-based Rainforest Islands Ferry say they closed the deal for the used oil rig supply vessel Tuesday morning. After a refit, the boat is slated to ferry passengers and vehicles between Ketchikan, Prince of Wales, Wrangell, and Mitkoff Island, south of Petersburg. Matt Lichtenstein has this update.
We actually closed on our boat today. We own a boat.
Heather Hedges is marketing and tourism coordinator for the fledgling Rainforest Islands Ferry, as well as the city of Kaufman Cove on Prince of Wales Island. She says the price was just under $2 million for the 160-foot vessel, which is currently still in the Gulf of Mexico. Built in 1992, the Ashley Elise McCall was owned by Seacor Marine, which transports crew and supplies to offshore oil rigs. The vessel's expected to cruise a bit faster than larger Alaska ferries while using substantially less gas. Hedges says she'll be renamed the Rainforest Islander.
We will have room for 70 passengers and 14 vehicles plus freight and baggage.
Hedges says they hope to have the service running by mid-July. The new ferry's ports of call include Kaufman Cove, Wrangell, and the South Mitkoff Terminal, about 25 miles from Petersburg, as well as the Saxman Terminal near Ketchikan and Myers Chuck on the mainland. The boat will operate Monday through Saturday and stop in each community several times a week. Hedges and other Rainforest Islands officials envision their passengers connecting to and from the Alaska Marine Highway System and the Inter-Island Ferry Authority. The IFA is the region's other community-based service, which runs between Ketchikan and Hollis on Prince of Wales. A $3 million loan from the U.S. Department of Agriculture is covering the Rainforest Islands vessel purchase, overhaul, and other startup costs. That includes vans to transport foot passengers on the Prince of Wales and Mitkoff Island road system. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
The snowy peaks of Haines have long been a mecca to snowboarders and skiers who have never set foot here. But this weekend's Big Air tends to feature the boarders who call Haines home.
It was very local last year, and it was great.
Luck Dunbar helps organize the annual jump event.
You know, we've had in the past a couple of guys, great skier, come through and really kick some butt and taking home a nice prize, or actually, yes, leaving it here on the mountain. But it was real nice to see a bunch of local kids get after it.
The 17th annual Big Air competition is at the Haines Pass this Sunday around noon. Everyone's invited to snowboard, ski, or just hang out.
So anybody who wants to compete, show up a lot earlier before that and help build the jump.
The construction crew plans to camp out the night before, looking for the perfect spot for a jump, either in the trees if it's flat light conditions, or at Three Guardsmen if the skies are clear and bluebird.
It goes all the way from beginners to advanced. So anybody who just wants to get out and share a good day of hitting a jump and goofing off and laughing, and, you know, it's for everybody.
Competitors can enter for a fee at the event in one of four categories: advanced, intermediate, beginner, and new this year is a women's category.
Hopefully we'll get some more female people jumping, so that'll be good. And the women are welcome to jump into any of those other categories. You know, there's no discriminating, but just for the comfort level, for girls that want to get out there and go big and win a nice prize. It's just an event for people to get out. I mean, we're not going to discriminate against skiers or anything like that, so it's just big goof-off day.
Prizes include heli-skiing with Alaska Heli-Ski, cat-skiing with SEBA, a round-trip ticket to Juneau with an Eagle Crest pass, cash, and other donated prizes from local businesses. Big Air is this Sunday around noon at the Haines Pass. That's on the Haines Highway, but in Canada, so don't forget passports. The location will be marked with cars and people. People should also bring shovels, and if they have dogs, leave them in the vehicle. Keeping snow machines in one track at the mountain will also help keep the event safe. This is Tara Bicknell with Misty Wiley for KHNS News.